Hi, I'm Sophie, and this is Age Well with Dr. Sophie Schotter, a space where, together with my producer Fee, I talk to good friends and trusted experts on how they age well, whether it's their latest supplement stack, what's on their bathroom shelf, or a new biohacking device that really seems to work. Because for me, aging well is all about looking and feeling like the best possible version of ourselves, both inside as well as out. Remember, you can also find even more ideas and expert tips on my social channels at Dr. Sophie Schotter. I'd love you to come and join me over there too. So this is my show. Welcome along. As always, thank you so much for listening. And this week, we're in conversation with Joe Elvin. Joe, it's such a pleasure to have you with us, and I hope you don't mind us revisiting a few themes that you've already spoken about elsewhere.
Oh, hey, anything you like. I'm very flattered to be invited to speak with you, so thank you for having me.
Aww. Thank you for coming on. We've especially loved hearing you talk about career transitions post-40, post-50. Yep. So, for example, you've previously spoken about the profound difficulty you had in leaving what appeared to be your dream job as editor-in-chief of Glamour magazine. Yep. And I know you were at the helm of this brilliant title for over 15 years. And Glamour, like many glossy mags, was really hard hit by the internet and online platforms.
Yes.
And I know that in your early 50s, you made the decision to jump ship and go freelance. And since then, you've successfully reinvented your career. But for the sake of anyone listening who may be going through either redundancy or is at a career crossroads and thinking of leaving a secure job, what thoughts do you have around themes such as shame or fear of not earning, trying to build a portfolio career, decision fatigue? And what kept you going when you left Glamour, both practically and emotionally?
How long have you got, Sophie? Oh my goodness. It's like there's a novel in those questions. Let me try and unpick it a little bit. I suppose I have written before about when I left Glamour in 2017. I was 47. A lot of people said to me, "Oh, why did you leave?" And the very simple answer was because I got made redundant. It was like there was no. But what I've written about is the more interesting question is, why did I stay in that one job for 17 years? And actually, when I look back, what kept me there was I loved it. It was the easiest job in the world to love for so long. But in the last few years, it became really, really stressful in terms of sales figures, not what they used to be. We were not the golden child of the company anymore. All the conversations tended to be around, how many more people can you make redundant and how much more money can you save and how cheaply can you do this, rather than, oh, wow, what have you got on the cover or all of that sort of stuff. So I'd got into this situation where the job was really hard. No matter how hard I worked, I couldn't improve the results for Glamour. But it was so fused with my own identity that I couldn't figure out for myself what else it might be that I was good at. I'd become institutionalized in the loveliest institution in media, but it just made me really afraid to make that leap because I genuinely thought that if I wasn't quote unquote editor of Glamour, then nobody would ever pick up the phone to me again. It would be like I'd died. So when the decision was made for me, as heartbreaking and scary as that was at the time, it was also, I can't lie, quite a big relief because it was like, okay, this decision that you were never going to have the courage to make on your own has now been made for you. So you're just going to have to figure it out. So I decided to try as much as I could psychologically to approach it with excitement and curiosity rather than fear. So that's the shortest answer I can give you.
I mean, this is also, hi Joe, this is a short question, but also quite a big question at the same time. But do you identify through your work? And if so, are you okay with that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I've tried over the years to not be so intrinsically link my identity to my career, but it's something that I find really hard. It's when I was younger and growing up in Australia, you know, my mother was of the generation where she was a product of a single mother family. She was basically forced at 15 to leave school to start earning money as a secretary to help support the family. So she really instilled in me from a young age, be independent, be educated enough to be able to do what you want with your life. I couldn't do everything I wanted with my life. I want you to be able to do that. So that was like a really strong message about I think all young women who grew up in the 80s, a lot of us had parents who almost got to be that sort of like have it all generation. And so they wanted that for their daughters. And so it really was instilled in me. And I still, it's a really interesting time for me now. I'm freelance and I'm doing all sorts of weird and wonderful things. But I always have a bit of a pause if somebody says to me, oh, and what do you do? And I don't really know how to describe it. And I find that quite difficult sometimes just to sit comfortably with myself, even though I'm having a very nice time, thanks very much. And I'm quite happy that I'm so multi-hyphenate that you can't really sum it up.
When you were at Glamour, you launched the Women of the Year Awards, and you now also produce and host a brilliant podcast on fame, which I think is fascinating and probably quite a misunderstood topic.
Oh, you're the one who listened to Fame.
Well, the two.
Thank you so much.
I'm sure there were far more than that.
Well, it didn't really, I loved doing that podcast and I would like to bring it back, but it was, obviously podcasts are a very crowded space. It was the first thing I ever did where I didn't get any reaction. Do you know what I mean? Ooh. So, and you know yourself, podcasts cost money, and with everything going on, it was at the time, it was just the thing that had to give. But I've got some great people on there having some really interesting chats about what fame does to your psychology.
We'll link into it, Joe, and make people listen to it because it's a really good podcast.
Thank you.
We loved your anecdote on the Elizabeth Day podcast about David Schwimmer. We won't repeat the story here. We'll perhaps simply link to the episode on the show notes. This is perhaps an obvious question, but over the years, who have you most loved meeting? And has anyone, besides David Schwimmer, surprised you? Hopefully you're comfortable name dropping.
Yeah, it's like a few people have surprised me in good and bad ways. I think probably one of my favorite celebrities that I got to meet was Amy Schumer. It was just one of those things where I'd heard about her a little bit. I knew she was coming to Britain, and James Williams, who is our entertainment director at Glamour, was like, she's going to be in town. We've got to find a way to get her to the awards, because it was at that point where she was just about to explode. And even like people like Claudia Winkleman, who were hosting that, were saying to me, who's this? Who's this? I was going, trust me. She's going to be amazing. And she came and gave an acceptance speech for her award that went viral overnight. It racked up millions of views. She was so hilarious. And it was one of the things that cemented her stardom. So I was really proud of that. But just sitting with her as my table mate, you never know what you're going to get when you sit next to celebrities at awards. And I remember David Schwimmer was notable for being really very clammed up and very difficult to have any kind of conversation with, to the point, I think I said on Elizabeth's podcast, the woman on the other side of him to me said to him, mate, are you going to actually give anything in this conversation?
Brave.
It was so awkward. It was so awful. Whereas Amy sat down, I told an anecdote about how I had the most crippling trapped wind half an hour before turning up to the awards. And it just opened the floodgates on us. I and her sister just chatting away like we'd known each other for years. It was brilliant. And to the point where I don't test it with celebrities very often, but if I ever do email her and ask her something like, would you be on my podcast? She always replies, Jimmy, I just think she's amazing.
That's so nice. I'm glad she's like that. Speaking of Elizabeth Day, who we also love, obviously.
Yes.
The interview you did with her was so compelling because you could tell it was just a couple of mates having a really honest, good chat. You spoke about your guilt in letting a certain friend down, which again, we won't go into, as people can re-listen to that episode. We'll link into it.
Yeah.
How do you feel about friendships in general at this stage in your life and in this current age of hyper-business and WhatsApp and generally this idea that a lot of us stay in touch purely through our phones? Maybe I'm projecting on how I've seen my friendships play out, that a lot of them have played out through WhatsApp. Does that worry you? Do you still love making new friends?
I do love making new friends. I am the middle-aged equivalent of the little girl at the swings going, play with me. It's like, and I think particularly since I haven't been working full-time, if you're not going into an office every day, you don't have that community that you just happen to be part of every day that you take for granted. So since I've become freelance, if I get invited to a dinner or a lunch, I'm really enthusiastic about going and really excited about who I might meet, rather than thinking, oh my God, how much time is this going to take out of my day when I've got so much work to do? I find that I'm much more in control of my diary, and so able to spend it with people who I really want to spend it with and go to things that I only really want to go to. I'm with you. A lot of my friendship groups play out over WhatsApp. I love that. I love that. I've got friends who live in Devon and friends who live in Portsmouth, and I don't have to feel like I need to get there to feel absolutely connected to them. Meet up when we can. I had two of my girlfriends, one from Warrington and one from the south of the country. We all met up and went to a concert the other night. And so we still have those connections, but I love that you don't need to be physically around people to be able to connect with them. And my goodness, my whole family's in Australia, and I'd die without Facebook and WhatsApp groups for keeping in contact with them.
What was the concert, by the way?
Oh, well, it was a K-pop star who we all bonded over years ago. My daughter accidentally threw me down the K-pop wormhole. And my gateway drug into K-pop was a guy called Taemin, who's part of a group called Shiny, and he had a solo concert the other night. The man is a better dancer than Michael Jackson ever was, obviously less problematic than Michael Jackson ever was. And we had an absolute blast. And what I loved about it was, I don't know, there probably was about 3,000 people there in a venue in East London. And I wondered if I might be the oldest person in the room, but I was not. There was all ages, all genders. It was amazing. It was such a lovely evening.
We're going to stick that on the show notes as well. Good tip. Thank you.
Taemin. If you're going to stick anything on the show notes, put Taemin's video for a song called Advice.
Right.
And then I defy you not to fall down the K-pop wormhole after that.
Well, that's a legally binding contract, Joe. All right, noted.
Yeah.
Can we pivot to skincare and wellness and basically your approach to aging well? What's your morning and evening skincare routine? What brands do you love and what are you loyal to?
I think I'm going to probably disappoint you in that I'm actually quite low maintenance on skincare, although I'm very habitual. Don't think I've ever gone to bed with a face of makeup on. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter how tired or how drunk or how sick I might be feeling, that face is getting cleaned. What I'm really loving at the moment, I've got into Gatineau lately, and I'm finding that their creams are just lush. And I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but I actually think that I'm getting compliments on my skin lately, which never used to happen. I wonder if it's skincare, or Sophie, do you think it's just like you just get to an age where people know you're old and you look all right for your age? Do you think that's probably more why I'm getting compliments for my skin?
Whether it's something that you've changed or whether it's just that actually at the stage of life you're at, your skin stands out.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I tell you what I have changed in the last 6 months is my approach to nutrition.
See, that makes a big difference to how skin looks as well.
Yeah, I think it's really, I went to the Maya Clinic in Austria last year. And I went because I was invited. I was very lucky. And I was a little bit, you know, it was very rigid with calorie control and a proper sort of like no alcohol, no sugar, no dairy, there was a bit of dairy. I had cheese, no gluten, all that sort of stuff for a week. And I remember they said, this is week one. If you don't keep this up for another 3 weeks, there's no point you doing it at all. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do this for 3 weeks? And now I've largely kept it up because I just can't believe the difference it's made to the way I feel. And I've never been overweight, but I was definitely starting to creep on some pounds. And I lost half a stone. And suddenly loads of clothes that I was about to sell because it didn't fit me, I could fit into again. And so it's just really spurred me on to live very healthily with what I eat.
I'd love to know, actually, with Maya, is it worth it?
I think so, yes. They did say to me, oh, you're probably going to feel awful for the first 3 days. And it's not easy because I think it's psychologically as well. You're looking at these small portions on your plate and I'm thinking, how am I can't do this. I was like a first and second breakfast and third and fourth lunch kind of girl. It was interesting that it wasn't much to eat, but it wasn't deprivational and I wasn't hungry. And that was really surprising. And yes, I was a bit headachy and a bit tired for the first 3 days. And they said, you're going to feel amazing by day four. And I woke up on day four and I thought, well, I don't feel amazing. Bloody hell. But later that day, I'd done a workout with a trainer there. I'd been for a walk. And then I still wanted to do another workout in my room with my Peloton app. And I was like, oh my God, they are right.
Yeah.
God damn it, they're right. I did start to feel great towards the middle of the week.
Yeah. Just picking up on Sophie's last question, because we do love rooting around and nosing around in people's bathroom cabinets, so to speak.
Okay.
But so Gatineau, we've got that on the list. What about any other products for bath, body, hair, nails? Again, do you have anything that you're so loyal to that really works?
Well, I've started using this hair brand. It's almost like, I suppose it's like a borderline medical treatment for hair. Are they calling it Botox for hair? I know I'm going to say it wrong. It's a brand called Nouria, N-O-U-R-R-I-R. And they've got this root nourishing serum that I put in and I just shove it in my hair and then go and do a workout and then rinse it out when I have a shampoo. And I love it. It's like, my hair feels stronger and a bit soft, stronger but softer.
Good. Noted. Yeah.
Yeah. And what else do I like? I'm loving, it's actually a great budget brand. There's a brand called Q&A. I think they're just selling boots.
Not heard of that one.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. Really colourful packaging, great scented products. I'm using this, they've got this sort of collagen firming body butter that I'm using at the moment. It's a great smell and I think that's having a nice effect as well. And I actually really love, Trini London's got a couple of products that I really love. There's a neck firming cream in a big purple tube and her new eye renewal treatment. It's in a little pot. That's really good.
Okay.
What about treatments and tweakments? If I'm right, I think you see Wasim, who's a good friend of mine and also an amazing
practitioner. Lovely
Wasim.
Do you know what? I haven't seen Wasim for years. The last person who did Botox for me was my dentist.
Ah.
I like it to look a little bit more woken up. I don't like to not be able to move my face. I'm not devoted to needly treatments. Every now and again, I might, if I see her every year and she says, oh, do you know, do you fancy him? Oh, yeah, okay. But I don't sort of look in the mirror and go, oh, I need Botox. I just don't have, I don't know. I don't have that relationship with my face, which I'm pleased with, because I think it can be a slippery slope if you start to get addicted to that sort of stuff. But I love a facial. I had a beautiful facial the other day with a lady at 180 House in the Strand. Renata is her name. And it was like an acupuncture facial. So relaxing. And she did, I love the sort of like the LED collagen lights. I think that makes a difference. So I'm not slavish. I think that the things that I am very disciplined about are cleansing and toning and moisturizing twice a day and double cleansing, especially in the evening, and nutrition and exercise and sleep.
Yeah. Sounds like a very healthy attitude.
Killers.
Yes. Yeah. What about makeup?
I do love makeup. I used to be the kind of person who couldn't go and buy a pint of milk without a full face of makeup on. And I'm not like that anymore. I don't feel apologetic about my face anymore as I did as a younger person. But I love what it can do. You know, I do a lot of TV and stuff like that. I love that it can enhance and make you feel better about going out into the world. I've got, at the moment, a very worn No. 7 palette of eyeshadows in brown. I've got a Laura Mercier grey eyeshadow stick, which I love. Estee Lauder Double Wear Foundation. Bobbi Brown, one of those creamy cheek pots. And then a lip balm, lip gloss from a brand called Laneige that I got in Space NK.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Love that, because I hate me in lipstick. I hate it. I look like the Joker in lipstick. So it's always just a strong eye and a very nude lip.
What about exercise? You mentioned your Peloton and wanting to do a Peloton workout in your room. Do you still love Peloton?
Yeah, it's the closest I'll ever come to joining a cult. If you listen to the podcast with Elizabeth Day, we love it so much that we pincer moved and forced Leanne Hainsby, the instructor, to be our friend.
We know.
We went to her wedding last year.
Successful mission then.
Yeah, I'm hosting a panel at Soho House this week, and Leanne's kindly agreed to be on it about career transformations. She's brilliant. But the Peloton is, oh my God, it's more than a bike. There's all the spin classes on it, but there's strength and there's Pilates and there's boxing and there's some dance classes and there's meditation and stretching. And I absolutely love it. I can get a really good rounded amount of workouts in a week at a time that's convenient to me. Once you've got the bike, it costs £39 a month.
Yeah, it's really not bad at all. I had one. I had a Peloton, which I bought during COVID, and I used to use so much. And I only recently, I gave mine actually to my brother about a year ago because I just didn't have the space for it. And because I exercise in other ways, every weekday, I couldn't justify giving up a room of my house for it. So
it is, that's the thing. I am lucky that I've got space where I could do it. It's so funny because I see Amanda Wakely every week at her beautiful penthouse apartment, and she's got a Peloton shoved in the corner of the room. And the reason she doesn't use it very often is because there's a whole drama every time her hair gets sweaty and she can't be bothered doing that all the time. Whereas I've got this sort of like wash and go, very short hair. So it's all good.
Yeah.
I'm actually on the verge of buying one again because I'm about to go through a house move and quite a big lifestyle change.
That means
I need convenient exercise at home again. So yeah. I'm going to get a good secondhand one though. I'm not going to buy a second Peloton at full price.
Yeah, but also there's like I did have the bike during lockdown because my husband bought it just before any of us even knew there was going to be a lockdown. So that was quite lucky. But during lockdown, I did a lot of things like Joe Wicks's free YouTube classes and stuff. There's tons of stuff online now. There's something for everyone. I'm convinced of it.
I think I'm going to head online. It's down here in Somerset. There's not much. And Sophie, I really want to do Reformer Pilates because everyone on the podcast is talking about it. And
yeah, it's really hard, Reformer Pilates.
Yeah, which I take as a good thing.
Yeah, it is good. But yeah, there's nowhere near me, nowhere convenient to me to do it anyway.
Mm.
Yeah, I have an amazing teacher called Francis, and I just have one-to-one because I think it helps so much with getting form right and so on. Having someone watch my form focused on me rather than on a class of however many people. Mm. Oh. So yeah, for me, it strengthened me in a completely different way. I'm really strong in terms of weights.
This Excellent. Has given me a different
I love type doing of stability.
Mm. Yeah, I'm really big believer in weights. I think they're so
too.
Important.
Yeah.
Who's your favourite Peloton instructor, or can you not remember?
I used to love Cody.
Oh, I love Cody. Leanne gets really cross because there was like we got invited into the studio, like the first one after lockdown, some of the members, and I was one, and they sat and said, here's who's coming to the class that Leanne was teaching. And they went through all our profiles and said, oh, so Joe's favourite instructors are this, that, the other, and Leanne didn't make the top three. She was like, oh, you've really stitched me up. And I was like, because you're too hard. I've got to really be in the mood. I've to kill myself if I'm doing a Leanne.
Oh, so funny. More holistically, Jo, do you take any supplements? And this is whether it's vitamins, mushrooms, like functional mushrooms, protein, super green, anything for brain health. I mean, we just would love to hear what's in your stack, if anything. And again, the brands that you repeat by.
I'm using a collagen supplement. I don't know. As I say to you, I've lately been having a lot of compliments on my skin, and I don't know which of these things that it is that I'm doing, but I'm not going to stop doing any of them.
Is that your main thing that you do in terms of supplements? Do you take any protein powders?
Yes, and I also 3 times a week take a quite strong vitamin D supplement because no matter how hard I try, apparently I'm always vitamin D deficient, and apparently that's a very bad thing, but I am trying to correct it. And I did have, this is ages ago now, we went to LA about 18 months ago, and I bought in that incredibly expensive supermarket Erewhon, I bought some sleep gummies, and they were incredible. So I really need someone to go to LA so I can ask them to get me some.
Yeah. I now have a legal prescription for cannabis. So I have cannabis oil, and it's amazing for my sleep because it has the CBD and the THC. So,
and how do you take that?
It's an oil, like you would CBD oil, under the tongue, leave it for 2 minutes. That's
I've got to say, the taste of all CBD products, really, I can't get used to it. I hate it.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah.
Are you into any alternative therapies?
Let me think. Alternative, what do you mean by, what would you be your definition of that?
So I guess anything. I mean, you talked about your facial acupuncture. I'd class that as a little bit alternative, but it could also be anything like breathwork or energy healing.
I know I shouldn't, but it's like, I find it really difficult. And I think that's the point, isn't it? I do love acupuncture. I had a massage on Friday. I'm not sure if that counts as alternative, but I find that things like that are really important. I'm not massively into alternative therapies. I haven't really got the time to do a ton of stuff, but I'm a very big believer in mindfulness, which you can do anytime for yourself. very big believer in stretching. I find that sometimes I've suffered a bit from mild arthritis, and I find any time that's playing up, if I just really pay attention to stretching my body properly after exercise, it really helps. And my only, it's not really an alternative therapy, but I just really believe in weekly connecting with people and sort of like just making sure that your tank is topped up by having interactions and relationships with other people around you. And that to me is much more sustaining than getting in a sound bath. Do you know what I mean?
A night in with some friends, and when you really laugh and you feel like the world is the right way up again, that's a tonic. Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be a night. It could just be that one dog meme that someone's just sent you that makes you laugh and makes you, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's those things are the tonic of my day.
Yeah. Although hearing you mention arthritis, by the time this podcast has gone live, another podcast will have gone live with Tom Baxter from Bristol Fungarium. He's got amazing things to say about a particular mushroom. I forget which one it is to do with arthritis. Yeah, I'll send you something before this goes live anyway, but we'll get you onto that.
So interesting. But also just to say on that, my trip to the MyoLife clinic and their de-inflaming my body with my diet, I've had the sort of like the scientific proof now in another checkup that that has really helped with my arthritis, just changing my diet.
Yeah.
For sure.
So Joe, you came to the UK from Australia back in 92. How do you feel about London now? Because you've been over here for several years. Can you also map out your perfect day in London? So your favourite places for good coffee, a decent meal, any secret gems where you'd host a meeting, like any little shops you love, anything at all like that. What's your perfect sort of London?
I think a lot of people who live in London have a love-hate relationship with London. It's the most exciting place in the world. And I've started reviewing events and theatre for Gabby Roslin on her BBC London show on the radio. And it's just, you think, my God, there's any given day, there's so many things you could do and so many places you can be. But my perfect day is no issues on public transport, is well enough for my mental health for the day. It's so frustrating, isn't it, trying to get around London sometimes. But I love, I went to a little gorgeous little Korean restaurant with my friend the other day called Bab and Sul, just in on the top of Chinatown. I'm not sure if it's right that the Korean restaurant's in Chinatown, but there we are, that's the way it is. I love just things like mooching around Shoreditch. That's one of my favourite places to hang out. There's always little sort of artisan shops and small businesses and things like that. They do fantastic coffee over there. There's an amazing little churro place in the Box Park set along the, just behind the station. My daughter and I love Brick Lane, which is just around the corner from there. She loves vintage shopping. That's where we always take our friends who, if they come from places like America or Australia. Meetings, it's so boring. I just think that I love just one of the Soho houses because everyone's there and I'll always run into people I know and I'll always look forward to wondering who I'm going to see in there.
And the same question in reverse, in terms of time away from the city, where do you like visiting in the UK? Any hotels or spas that you love?
Well, I really love, my friend has a gorgeous cottage in Rye in East Sussex.
Oh, I love Rye.
I love that part of the country. I love mooching around Tenterden and the antique shops and things like that. But I also have to have a big shout out to my friend Donna Ida, the jeans designer, who's got an amazing 15-room pile in Devon, Langdon Court Manor. And I'm very lucky that I get to go there a lot as well. It's just so beautiful down there. We just walk down to Wembley Beach, have an ice cream, let the dogs run around. Her husband's a chef. He makes amazing dinners and the house itself is just beautiful.
Love that.
Great tip.
Thank you so much for coming on, Joe. And for all of you listening, Joe is a writer, broadcaster and consultant. You can find her on socials at Joe_Elvin. And do also check out her Substack called My Goodness. And we'll link into all of this in the show notes. Thank you again, Joe, so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that ends this week's podcast. If you want to find out more about me and my work, or maybe book a consultation, head to drsophieschotter.com and you can find me on socials at drsophieschotter. And again, thank you so much for listening.